roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz. Our ace co-host. What's up, Goz? On a Monday. Excuse me. Thursday, May 14th.
What up?
Not much. Although I could have probably fooled you, right? Into thinking it was Monday.
I thought today was Friday, actually.
Yeah. I think every day's Saturday. This pandemic's driving me nuts. I'm just kidding. I always tell people, stay safe. Stay indoors, if need be. And stay sane. You ever see them prison movies where people are constantly like doing push-ups and sit-ups and reading books and making the most out of that 1 hour where they can go outside and get some fresh air? Do that, folks.
Like Max Cady?
Exactly. Yeah, do a little bit of that. Because until we get to normalcy, I'm telling you, this can mess with you a little bit. Yeah, I'm taking it serious, actually, folks. Seriously, that's our little PSA to you all. Before we get started here with our Thursday edition, there's lots to cover here. We got UFC on ESPN plus 29. Which took place last night, and what a main event, man. Pretty violent. Now reading some of the stories that are coming out of Jayville. John Morgan's there. Of course, the team was up all night working, and so we're going to cover that. Not to mention, there's some news, good stuff, bad stuff, sad stuff, and then we have to hustle and already start to turn the page on the next event that's coming up. That's right. On Saturday, there's yet another card. It's UFC on ESPN 8, Overeem versus Harris. So that's May 16th. That one will be on big ESPN. Last night, it was on ESPN Plus, and this is what went down. I'll go through it quickly, and then we'll circle in on the big stuff. But first, we want you to buckle up and get ready, because we're coming at you.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So Chase Sherman returned, goes to the UFC. He started the night off with a knockout. TKO stoppage, elbow and punches of Isaac Villanueva. Brian Kelleher, did you see that big old punch he put on Hunter Azur?
Mm-hmm.
Man, 1-2 right there. Those two out of the gate got W's. Omar Morales and Gabriel Benitez went to a decision, but these guys were cracking on each other pretty good. In fact, I thought they were like an early candidate for fight of the night. Sajara Eubanks and Sarah Morass, well, a little one-sided. I guess Morass had a couple chances there with some armbar setups, but Eubanks too savvy to fall for one of those. Thiago Moises defeated Michael Johnson, heel hook in round two. And much of what is Johnson's story throughout his career, he can hang with anybody. But if the fight goes to the ground, he has some problems. But if the fight remains standing and his cardio holds up, that guy's done good over his career. It's a really one of the most unusual careers out there for some of the fighters we've covered. Moving on, Andrei Arlovsky and Philippe Lenz. These guys cracked each other pretty good for 15 minutes, too. Andrei Arlovsky got that win, unanimous decision, but Lenz had some moments where he staggered the big man from Belarus. Ricky Simon and Ray Borg. These two come along, and they said, we'll take that fight of the night honors. And so I don't think anybody was going to disagree because these guys, they were whipping out the actual baseball bats. So they were cracking like the other guys, but they had some exchanges where you were like, whoa, I mean, what are you guys made out of, titanium or what? Drew Dober and Alexander Hernandez kind of were starting to take a little bit of the same recipe, except Drew Dober was just too heavy-handed. He got a win in round two, Ben Rothwell versus Ovince St. Preux. Another decision that was entertaining, split decision. Ben Rothwell got his hand raised over the heavyweight debuting Ovince St. Preux. And then we get to the main event. Five rounds they went. Almost a complete five rounds. This was a tale of two fights. Anthony Smith in rounds one and two just looking so sharp from the outside, quick. I mean, a jab looked nice. The 1-2 looked nice. Some kicks. He was in. He was out. We were even saying Teixeira's like a step or two behind. It looked like he was a training partner for a while. And then all of a sudden, Teixeira closed the distance. Anthony Smith got tagged a few times. Teixeira got stronger as the fight went. And Anthony Smith, man, he slowly but surely, you know, folded because of the damage he was taking. And he was tiring as well. And then towards the end, it was like, stop the fight. Like Adrian Stallone. No,
Rocky.
Adrian.
What's the last name? Balboa,
yeah. I'm telling you, guys, this was like hills and valleys. This is like a roller coaster ride we went on last night.
I don't know if I got soft in the quarantine. Well, I definitely got soft in the midsection. But, I mean, as far as fights go, some of these fights have seemed so much more brutal. I don't know if it's no fans or what, but the injuries that might have come out of it.
We're hearing everything.
Broken orbital bone, broken nose, broken veneers, teeth. They've just been pretty bad. And Anthony Smith is a warrior, but at 40 years old, for Glover Teixeira to perform that way, that fight early on really seemed like it was going to be one-sided. It was going to go one way, and then for another guy to just turn around and put a beating on the other, what a great main event.
You could have left somewhere in round two and said, I'm going to go to bed, you know, and I'll catch you tomorrow. Let's just say you have an early starting job like us.
Let me know what he says about John Jones.
Exactly, you know, and just tear up your Glover Teixeira ticket. And then in the morning you wake up, you probably wouldn't be able to finish your breakfast. You'd be like, what? I mean, that's not the fight I left. That's how good Anthony Smith looked. I was telling Goz, like, when I was like, Anthony Smith is sending a statement to the light heavyweight division. Hey, I fought for the world title and I came up short, but look at the improvement I made. Look how good I look. He really looked good, folks. And the ending was completely different. And by the way, what Goz said about veneers and broken noses and orbitals and, you know, whatever else, bloodied faces, that's just one guy. I mean, look, there was some violence throughout the night, but that was just Anthony Smith. So since we're at the top, we'll stay there. Glover Teixeira did win. He's now on a 4-fight win streak. He is 40 years old. He'd love to compete for a second crack at a world title. He fought Jones once in 2014, but I think he realizes he's in fine company with Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes and Jan Blachowicz. And I turn blue saying the same group, but that light heavyweight division's just kind of had a lot of activity in the last year or so. So all those guys deserve to be mentioned over and over. They worked themselves into that position, but I think he's just kind of a little bit of a, you know, part of a foursome. But credit to him and what he did. And yes, in reading the injury report, we had a see, in rounds 3, 4, and 5, even though Anthony Smith survived 3 and 4, the painful part to watch was getting off the mat and walking to the corner. And in each one of those rounds, Glover Teixeira would deliver some strikes, and Anthony Smith had a weird reaction, almost like he got poked in the eyes looking for his opponent to just, you know, stop and let him recover. You know how there's that little moment where the referee can then intercede, the other guy backs off. But in this case, it was actual hard punches that were landing and doing stuff to Anthony Smith that shook him up. Credit to Anthony Smith, who one way or another would survive, either by grabbing a single or just locking up or just surviving the onslaught once he got to the ground. And there were times where the announcing team was really, really going out of their way to say, hey, look, maybe this should be stopped. Should the corner step in? And then reading a little bit more of what Dana White was saying.
I have a theory.
And so do I. That's where the fight kind of like there was a different focus on, hey, is Anthony Smith good? Did he lose some of, you know, some mileage, you know, towards the end because of this beating and what's Herzog thinking, you know, stuff like that. But I don't know. I do have a theory, but let's hear yours first.
My theory is that the reaction Dominic Cruz had in his fight and everything that came out of it carried over into this card. And I think he may be to blame that these fights went a little bit longer than some would have liked, I think.
Herb Dean had a nice stoppage, by the way. Which one was that? He had a good one. Who did he pull off? It was Drew Dober over Alexander Hernandez, I believe, right?
Yeah.
You might be right. Sometimes there's a little bit of a residual from the night, from not the night before, but the previous night of fights. Okay, so Mark Montoya had a fight in Brazil about a year ago, and he took a lot of heat. And the unique thing about this was Anthony Smith, I think, was on the host team that day. So he was able to get intel from Montoya. Montoya's Anthony Smith's coach. And so he defended Montoya a little bit that night and said, hey, look, I talked to the coach and they were well aware of the fighter. And I think the fighter's dad was also in the corner. I just wish his name would come to me right now, but it doesn't. And but anyway, I also talked to Montoya because he came to our studio and I told him, just like I tell a lot of people when we heap criticism on them, it's like, hey, look, let me face you man to man right here and tell you and see what you think. And he addressed it on our show and he said, look, of course I know my fighter's damaged, but I have been in the trenches with these guys so much and I know how far they can go and I know what they've done in the past to come back and win fights that I'm not going to take that opportunity away from them if I know that they can still go out there and give me something. He goes, I'm a responsible coach and I'm not going to let that happen under my watch. Now, he did feel bad about the incident in Brazil, but I think it's because Twitter's blowing up and everything was coming at him at one time. But he said he felt secure in his decision despite all that because of what he just finished telling me. So as I was watching this, I was remembering that. And folks, if Anthony Smith trusts Mark Montoya to beat his head coach and devise his game plans and run his camp and be the lead guy in the corner, there's a connection there. He knows how far he can push him. He was well aware that his teeth were falling out and everything else, but I think there's just something deep in the trenches in these camps and in these corners that most of us don't know. Now, here's the thing. DC was saying it, and so was Felder, and they're fighters, so they're not media and fans. So for them to kind of have that opinion, you kind of have to listen to both sides. You know what I mean? Dana White, John Anik, Goes, George, everyone else, respectfully, none of us are taking our bodies to those limits. So we definitely all have different, you know, we definitely have different weights of our opinion. You know, John has been cage side for so many fights, calling the action and seeing things. And he says these last few events have been like no other, hearing everything. Dana, of course, has seen everything, you know, locker rooms before and after. So I would imagine their takes are stronger than Goes and I, but we've seen our fair share of takes as well. And then we've called fights and been around these guys at the gym. And, you know, we know. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass just because of that history, you know, of conversing about previous fights that have gone long. It was sad, though. It was sad to see Anthony like that. I mean, he was messed up. You know how he would walk to the corner and then, like, I respect Herzog a lot. I just think this was a tough one, guys.
I think it was a tough one, too. I don't really hold it on the referee as much as I do on Smith's corner because I understand that you always have a chance to come back in a fight. But I would say that would be maybe if you had like one punch knockout power or, I mean, you know, as the fight goes later and later, that starts to go away, or a formidable jiu-jitsu game where all he's got to do is get a hold of him or something like that. I just wasn't seeing any of that from Anthony Smith. And for me, the moment where I probably would have stopped it is just seeing my fighter react to certain shots, which now we know was probably the orbital bone.
And he would get a broken nose, maybe.
Yeah, when he would get tagged, he would just wince and turn away,
almost like Roberto Duran, like you just want to say no mas, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that was just those were his emotions. That was him telling you what his body was experiencing at the moment, and that to me just seemed like that was the moment to say, "All right, this has gone on too far."
Mm-hmm. Well. He almost survived round five, and trust us, we were looking at the clock going, wow, can he get out of this and maybe get back and regroup? But every single time, he would just take this big old shot within the first minute, and at least the last three rounds is the way I remember it. The only thing I can think of is maybe Montoya thought it was 2-2 going into five, and if he sends him out there and Anthony can just pump that jab and survive or get a takedown, you know, I don't know, maybe he can get out of there with a win. The coach probably knows the difference between the win and the loss financially, too, not just mentally and physically. I mean, he's probably thinking, look, in round four, your orbital's broken, your nose is broken, but you're still sitting on the stool, and if you win this round, you can get your win bonus and proceed towards Jones again, you know. Who knows how they're processing it. The good thing about Mark Montoya is he's a great human being. He'll give you an honest assessment, and I can't wait, goes, now I can't wait to get back to the studio or possibly even have him on via video, but get back to the studio. And if he's ever back there, just kind of have one of those deep conversations about MMA with him because he's great at that.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, it's a very, very sensitive and tough topic, but, and trust me, when he goes back and watches it, I think it's going to look a little different to him than being there. But I think the right call would have been to maybe stop that a little sooner.
And you know, James Krause was in the corner, and he's gotten a reputation as a big MMA mind as well. That's two great minds that Anthony Smith had, and neither one chose to throw in the towel. I don't know if one guy has more of a, you know, the say in that. And then Zach Cummings tweeted saying that Anthony had recently gotten those veneers, and it's happened before, and I guess it's not as big of a deal, you know?
Well, it said veneers and one of his actual teeth.
One of his teeth actually came out, too. All right, well, so that's the main event. Rothwell, Dober, Simone, Arlovsky, Moises, that's the rest of the main card. What stood out to you there?
Seeing OSP at heavyweight was extremely frustrating for me.
What is that?
I don't know what his deal is, man, but you can never figure out what it is he's trying to do. And then when he does turn it on, he looks pretty good, but it's always a little too late. Ben Rothwell, I think, fought the fight that he needed to fight to win that fight. It was just a little bit of a frustrating fight. I don't know that anything happened at heavyweight where you would say, ah, okay, that's the recipe for OSP. That's what he's been missing. He just looked like the same guy at heavyweight.
Well, then if he looks the same, but at heavyweight he gets to eat, shouldn't he stay at heavyweight?
Maybe, but it's pretty dangerous up there, too.
True.
I mean, it's not like, no disrespect to Ben Rothwell, but he's not one of the top two or three guys in that division. He's one of the older cats there.
Is Drew Dober the new Jeremy Stephens? Kind of has that similar look, you know, the country look, the hair, the tan, and just a strong country boy, you know what I mean, from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he certainly fought like him. Ricky Simone and Ray Borg, credit to both. I think Simone basically told Borg, look, kid, you're awesome. You're pretty good, but you're just too big for flyweight and not big enough for bantamweight. Because almost like what you just said about Rothwell, Simone's good. Rothwell's good, but they're not top of the heap of their division right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Borg needs to look at that. And Borg and guys like Gastelum, I think they need to seriously take a look at, hey, do I just really, really dial this down for me, my career, my family, and give give that lighter weight class one more shot under the tutelage of one of those big nutrition guys. You know what I
even
mean?
Even if they're allowed. We don't even know if they're allowed at this point.
But, yeah, because they fractured it a couple times.
If you get the right nutritionist, I don't see why they wouldn't give you that opportunity. Because now it's not really your reputation. It's his or hers.
Mm. And Andre Arlovsky won't go away.
No. No,
he won't. Fights frequently. The nose is straight. He won. He wants Rothwell. Rothwell wanted Olenek, but pretty cool, you know. Like I say, three fight cards in 8 days is pretty cool because there's matchmaking that's jumping around here and there and timelines. And as long as you're healthy and I'm healthy, let's do it. And maybe that's kind of news to the UFC. Like, hey, cool, that's a fight made right there between those three. Like two of those three, if they can go soon as they continue to build cards. Remember, they have one Saturday that's already built. Then they got the one with Amanda and Felicia Spencer on June 6th. I think that's either going to be a Fight Island offering or who knows, maybe here in North America. And then after that, the May 30th they have at the Apex Center, and then the Amanda Nunes card on June 6th. So I don't know if that's too soon for some of these guys, but they got to start building these cards.
You know, after two cards, I can say that I don't feel like we've seen very many fighters, if any, that look like they went in there not prepared because of the pandemic. In other words, they just didn't have the cardio when they normally do, or they just had a horrific strategy when normally they're pretty good at that.
Like, no one looked awful.
Nobody's looked really out of sync all that much.
And it's not because two fighters are entering at 50% or 75%. Right. It really looks like they're close to like between 90 and 100. Yeah, I got you. Okay.
That's surprising to me. I thought that we would see a little bit more.
You were spot on with this the other day. I'm going to give you a chance to keep your perfect record. Guess the gate in attendance in Jacksonville.
Oh, it's so tough because, you know, that crowd is just so up and down. So I have to imagine if there was zero the other night, then I would say maybe they're just out to put out some kind of record or something. I bet you Jacksonville got together and said, you know what? Let's do zero again. It'd be funny.
Zero? For the gate, for the attendance?
For the gate.
Yep, you got it. Spot on. How about the attendance?
The attendance, I think they would just all kind of figure the same thing and say, hey, let's just be zero.
Mm-hmm. Spot on. Now, the bonuses went to Brian Kelleher and Hunter Azur. That was the fight of the night. Man, I thought for sure Glover Teixeira and Anthony Smith.
I don't know what they want.
We're going to get it.
But then aren't we always talking about, hey, how come the undercard guys don't get more love?
Mm-hmm.
They always go after the top bill guys. So maybe it worked out.
Yeah. The performance of the night went to Glover Teixeira and Drew Dober. So if they did go Teixeira and Smith for fight of the night, that would have left out Dober. I would have been okay with that. And just, I mean, Hunter Azur looked good, but he didn't look, I don't know. I would have preferred to give Teixeira and Smith fight of the night than Azur and Kelleher. And I would have been okay with Dober and Kelleher getting the performance bonuses if that's the route they went. The heel hook was nice by Moises, but Johnson gets submitted a lot. And I don't know. I don't know. I'll put it to you like this. Brian Kelleher's punch, his hook looked nice. And Drew Dober, his eventual multiple punches that defeated Alexander Hernandez also looked nice. But nothing was nicer than Calvin Kattar's elbow.
True.
The elbow knockdown and then the follow-up elbows, I mean, those were as good as they get. One was standing and one was on the ground, and he didn't get a bonus. How are these guys getting bonuses?
I wish we could ask them that because I'm never like disgusted by their picks, but a lot of the times I disagree with them. And I wonder, do we just not have the right formula or what's our deal?
You said one other thing. Jeremy Stephens was 5 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Like
I thought that should have been the deciding factor right there. If you're thinking, man, both of them had a great night, I would look and go, yeah, but this dude, he took on a challenger.
It's almost like saying, hey, Drew Dober and Brian Kelleher both beat Usain Bolt, barely. Oh yeah, well so did Calvin Kattar. Except Usain Bolt. Yeah, or you, I was gonna say Usain Bolt had a 10-meter lead. Like, anyway, yeah. That for some reason I'm a little upset at the way they're figuring these out. And all of them are there. Mick, I saw him again with Sean Shelby with their mask, and then Dana White, who apparently cannot get COVID-19, so he refuses to wear the mask. He was even closer. All right, whatever. I'm over it. Moving on. I think I'll save that one for the end. Yeah, let's do that. And sorry, I'm not going through my pages quick enough here because I totally just took everything into a different order. Colby Covington says it's only going to be him versus Masvidal or him versus Usman. Woodley's off the table. But it seems like Woodley already has a fight booked against Edwards. Well, Covington addressed him as Dilbert. That was pretty funny.
Oh, and that, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's going to be Gilbert Burns on May 30th, it looks like.
Yeah, so Colby needs to piss more people off, so why not add him to the list?
I ask a lot from my friends when they crack jokes. Sometimes they say the dumbest, stupidest shit, and I give them crap for it. I'm like, come on, man. Was that even worth the text? I ran to my phone to look at that.
You didn't like Dilbert?
No. And so I'm reading this one, and Dilbert kind of cracked me up.
Dilbert falls under when Michael Chandler called Pitbull a nerd.
Yeah.
Where it's so kind of corny that it's funny.
It was the way he addressed it. He said, I know Woodley was refusing to fight me, and I guess he's looking for an easier fight with some guy named Dilbert. I don't know. That just kind of cracked me up. I'm silly. Mm-hmm. I'm a Covington mark. I like Gilbert Burns. I like Tyrone Woodley, but that was a nice little jab there.
You know,
by Colby Covington. So
it's interesting because I guess the Masvidal fight doesn't get talked about enough that we've just kind of always put that off at the end. Like, well, they could always fight. I would like that fight. I think that would be a fun fight. But I think it needs to be
built up off two guys coming off wins and Covington's coming off a loss.
Yeah. Well, but they have so much heat that it almost doesn't matter. But the Tyron Woodley fight, they all have to happen. Really is what it comes down to. Mm. I mean, how could you have him and Woodley going at each other for so long and not have this fight happen? And I don't want it to happen when one guy is older than the other or one guy's taking some knockouts like Pacquiao and Mayweather. Like, I'd rather it happen now, but we'll see.
What'd you think of Marvin Vettori and Carl Roberson getting into it at the hotel lobby?
I think Marvin just is very, very fiery. But he's a nice guy and a good guy. We've actually had him in the studio a couple times. And when these horrific things aren't happening to him in his life, he's pretty chill. He's a really nice guy, but he's been through a lot. And I understand why he was upset. But I have a feeling no matter what Roberson said.
That's a big scene, though, in the hotel. And right now, I think everyone needs to be a little bit more chill because of what's happening. Like, you're putting a lot of people in the situation, you know, where, I mean, we're all wearing masks and we're all just staying away from each other. And mm-hmm. like was explained, you know, you don't have the normal warm up. You're warming up in your hotel. A van comes and gets you and your team and sends you there and then brings you back. And, you know, things shoved up your nose. However, that said, I look back and Vettori's been through a lot. He was supposed to fight in late May against Darren Stewart. He flew to London, got stuck there. Had to come back, and that's around the time he found out everything that was happening in Italy, northern Italy, where he's from.
That's what people forget.
He went through a lot with that, and then he was supposed to fight in Lincoln, Nebraska against Roberson. So the Stewart fight was just done because Stewart's a UK guy, and he's stuck there. On April 25th, then, of course, that got canceled, and it was extended to this 3 weeks later. So your body's going through, you know, you condition your body. All right, I got a 2 month camp. I'm starting here 205, and I got to get to 185. So I'm gonna take it in this direction. And so at some point, when you're started taking in the direction, you know, for first late March and then late April, and then, you know, another 3 weeks. I mean, that messes with you. You know, your body chemistry just up and down, getting stuck here, flying there, countries just getting, you know, hammered with COVID-19 infections. And then they get here. And guess what? Roberson was over, but only by a pound and a half. He made weight. They had a stare down. And then between that night and the next night, because remember, they weighed in on Tuesday. Overnight, Tuesday night, he had to go to the hospital. They pulled him off. Vettori's probably looking at it going, it was a pound and a half. He stood right in front of me. What's the deal here, you know? But they're saying it's not serious, and Roberson will be back. He just couldn't fight that night, and I guess they had a little bit of a run-in by the elevators. And that's why I'm going to give Vettori the pass. But, I mean, honestly, had he not gone through all that, I'd go, Vettori, things just happen, man, but you can't be doing this, you know? Like, that was a bit much of a production in the hotel. He just kept going and going and going. But after going back and seeing everything he's gone through, I can understand why he's probably losing it.
He's had no conclusion. That's the problem. Mm. You know, he's been in camp for a long time. Have you ever told yourself, all right, man, 5 more days of this, and then I'm going to have that pizza or whatever? Can you imagine it just not coming around, what it would do to you psychologically?
And when you have that pizza, they're also handing you a check for 50, 80, 120, 400, whatever it is you make. I mean, that financial relief that also comes in. Now, granted, I think he's going to get paid no matter what for this. And
maybe just show, though, right?
Maybe just show. Who knows? I can't even keep track. Some guys are getting win and show. And
any new tools that you've added to your game, you didn't get to use them.
Was he part of that London crew that some of them got taken care of? Because remember, the London crew got taken care of, and the Columbus and Portland were like, what about us?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who knows?
But also,
he wants to fight, isn't he? He wants to fight, too.
How about the weight of a country? Right, I'm sure he wants to give them something to smile about.
Perhaps, yeah.
He wants to inspire his people, and he hasn't been able to do it.
Yeah, he's riding a 2-5 win streak. Roberson would be big because Roberson's done well for himself as well. But that one's just going to have to get put together on another occasion. All right. On Saturday, it's UFC on ESPN 8, Overeem versus Harris. Your thoughts on that card goes. Now you've seen two nights of fighting. There you go. And we all know that it seems like these fighters are arriving and performing. We said 85, 90 to 100%, all of them. Walt Harris, Alistair Overeem, what's your final pick here?
My final pick in this one is going to be Walt Harris.
Okay.
With what Walt had to go through, it's very hard not to feel inspired and not want that guy to be happy and have his moment. With Alistair Overeem, it's very difficult because you never really know which one you're going to get. And when Alistair Overeem doesn't look good, it's usually him getting KO'd. He's had a lot of KOs in his career. And Walt Harris can never be accused of not showing up and not trying his hardest. You know, and especially in this situation, I just don't know how you could even root against a guy like that. Like, that's such a crazy story, and it feels so bad for him. So I know he's going to be dialed in. He's going to be very emotional. I think it's up to his corner to make sure his emotions are in check, though, for this fight.
Walt Harris's stepdaughter, Anaya, was killed last year, and it was a big deal because at first it was like a disappearance, a possible abduction or kidnapping or whatever. And apparently, from what I saw last night, the UFC is going to have a little documentary or something like that on it Friday night. So check it out. Was it on UFC Fight Pass or ESPN Plus? Did you make another
one? I think it was on Fight Pass.
Okay. That's the night before on Friday. And then Walt Harris fights Alistair Overeem on Saturday on big ESPN. Fights start off on ESPN Plus. Or I think maybe both. They're on ESPN Plus and ESPN. There you go. I think that's what's happening. So either one of those, you can catch it, whether you're a digital guy and you just want to watch on your laptop in your room or go down to your man cave and check it out. Darren Elkins fights that night against Nate Landwehr. Giga's back. He's fighting Mike Davis. That's a good one. Big Mouth. Kevin Holland versus Anthony Hernandez, also known as Fluffy. Matt Brown, the Immortal, who lives in Ohio, same state as Miocic. Somehow he's getting into the gyms. Song Yadong versus Marlon Vera. That's sick. Those two are good, man. Christoph Jocko versus Eric Anders. Dan Ige versus Edson Barboza. Claudia Gadelha versus Angela Hill. Esparza is going to watch the Gadelha fight. She wants a rematch, so if she can get past Gadelha, and Gadelha took offense, maybe they make right there on the scene. And I want to thank everybody that joined us for our watch-along last night. It was fun. We did a watch-along for UFC 249 on Saturday. We did a watch-along last night for UFC on ESPN Plus 29. We're not scheduled to do one for this Saturday. UFC on ESPN 8, but we'll definitely be watching, and who knows, maybe we'll turn on a Facebook stream or something. I don't know, because it's just kind of been fun to hang out and see the comments roll through and crack some jokes and talk some MMA, and I don't know. It's just, I love being amongst Junkie Nation. So thank you all to those of you that tweeted and shared and retweeted and passed along our stuff going on with Sportscaster. We'll be back next Wednesday on Sportscaster as well, every Wednesday in May, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So it's a quick reminder for that. And I guess to close out, Khabib Nurmagomedov goes, his father is in a coma right now. First of all, it started off as a pneumonia. And if you go back a few months, his dad usually pops up a lot on his social media. He did not look like a gentleman who was in any way, you know, sick or unhealthy looking. You know, he's always smiling, full of life, teasing Khabib, getting in there with the guys. His name is Abdul, let me see if I pronounce this right, Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov. And, of course, you know how close he is with his son, Khabib, the UFC lightweight champion. He's only 57, folks. And he fell into a coma. But what started off as pneumonia and not COVID-19 related, it turned into a more serious deal. So he was moved from Dagestan. He's now in Russia. He's in a coma. It's been verified by his teammate Islam Makhachev. It's been also verified by, I believe it's Khabib's cousin, who also is kind of putting reports out there. And Khabib has not spoken publicly about it, but Dana White made a mention of it last night. He had a very...
And the broadcast.
In the broadcast, correct. He had a post on social media. And then this morning I woke up and Conor McGregor, I also had a post for Mr. Nurmagomedov. And our best to him and his family as well, man. That's a sad thing. Because when I see the pictures of Khabib and his dad just has this like gentle look to him. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I would be shocked if somebody told me, oh, that guy? Oh, he's a jerk. I'd be shocked because he looks like a kind of a teddy bear.
Well, I mean, you...
Real nice fella.
You talk about Khabib going down as one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time. And those of you who are watching The Last Dance and see the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, the effect that his father had on his career and the things that we didn't even know in the background, you know, how much it affected him. That's... it's pretty touching, you know, to hear something like that. That connection that both guys have had with their fathers seems very similar to me. So it sucks that he has to go through something like that right now. Yeah. You know, with the world falling apart the way it is and all the things you have to worry about on that end, to have to endure something like this, it's got to be really tough.
Agreed. Anyway, folks, keep the Nurmagomedov family in your thoughts and prayers. And thank you, as always, for listening to the MMA Junkie Radio podcast. We'll see you all on Monday with another edition of this podcast. And throughout the weekend, keep it locked on MMA Junkie. Today's Thursday. I think they'll have probably a round of interviews maybe. And then tomorrow is weigh-in day. It's all live, too, on MMA Junkie. You can watch the live weigh-in. There's really no ceremonial weigh-ins to watch, so... there's no title fights here, so there's not really that compelling part. I mean, look, you want everyone to make weight, but you're always, when there's a title, you're like, oh my God, please, please. You know, you want a non-title fight. And then, of course, on Saturday and Sunday, we'll have all of the information you want on UFC on ESPN 8 with Overeem and Walt Harris. We're going to bow out of here. Have a nice day. Have a nice weekend. Stay safe. Stay sane. Stay indoors if they ask you to, but always be a champion.